prayer. That's what we're talking about now is delightful prayer. Say delightful. I want you to get your facial expression fixed for delightful. Now, what's delightful? There you go. Look, Caleb is delighted. That's good, Caleb. You got it. Praise God. Delighted doesn't you don't say delightful. Delightful is delightful, do you?
Unless you're being sarcastic.
Unless you're being, that's right, sarcastic. But normally what we will say is delightful. It's delightful. I'm just delighted. And that's the way prayer was designed to be. And isn't it amazing how everything that God meant to be life-filled, religion has turned it into some kind of a drudgery? Do you ever get tired of the drudgeries of religion? I mean, people have it down. Even things that started with life. We've talked a little bit about the Jewish practice of davening. And what does everybody know what davening is? What a Jew does when he davens? A Jew, you've seen them, there you go, Bob's got it. They stand before the wailing wall, and some of them are more than others, and it's all on a beat, you know, it's all down, it's almost like they're their own metronome, you know, they're clicking off the beat. Well, you know, I'm as sure as I can be that didn't start that way. I'm convinced that somebody was delighted with what he was doing and was animated in his prayer. Animated speaking the Word of God. And one of his subjects, one of his people that studied under him, watched him do that for a while, and after a while it became a rhythmic movement. I don't say it wasn't rhythmic, but you know, even dancing itself, I believe that David danced before the Lord, and I don't think it looked at all like what you might think it looked like. In fact, I'm not so sure it was pretty when David danced with all of his might. I mean, you know, there's times you just want to get more out than your body's capable of. To speak to God, to let Him know how much you love Him. And David was delighted. I don't know if any of you know about the tabernacle of David. It's a tabernacle that's to be restored in this day. That's what the Bible says, this tabernacle of David. David's tabernacle was one that he kept people praying and loving God and singing to Him all day. They had shifts and they just kept it going. And he could go out of the king's house in the night. Remember, he had a house before God's house was built because God wouldn't let David build the house. And David could go out and he could watch the prayers and the singers in the tabernacle. And I believe he could see because there was fire inside and the menorah was inside. I believe they could see the shadow of them moving in there and praising God in the middle of the night. He knew the importance of it, but delightful prayer was spoken of by God in Exodus 25:22. And see, we always think of this as being such a religious thing because of the way it had to be done at that time, because people could not come into the presence of God without proper protection. And yet God says that what I'm going to do is commune with you. Say commune. Commune. Now, who he did commune with at that time was the priest, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. But I want you to know that particular thing never became liturgical. One time a year he got to go in there, and it was alive every time he went, and he was ready for it, and it was exciting. I say it never did. I don't see how it could have ever become liturgical. Man, I mean, even if he had his Saturday night bath, when he went in on the Day of Atonement, he had to have another one. You know what I'm saying? He washed all of his clothes. He was ready to go. He put on his whole priestly garment. And God said, I'm there to commune with you between the wings of the cherubim. Now, let me ask you again, where is that temple today? In the heart. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God is here today, desiring today to dwell with you and to commune. Devar is the Hebrew word for commune, which simply means to speak. But to speak intimately. To speak intimately. We had a picture of that in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden with God. He came, the King James Version says, in the cool of the day. The word is ruach. in the breeze or spirit. He came and spoke to them. I think sometimes we think that Adam was just able to walk, you know, hand in hand with God. I don't see that. It was in the spirit. But his whole perfect body and mind and spirit was able to recognize the presence of God. He wasn't defiled by the things of this world. Everything was perfect. And so he could walk with him. Now after he sinned, what was the first thing that happened? He ran and hid when he heard that voice. He ran and hid. We need to run to God. Amen. Delightful. Can you imagine just what is ours? We just get to walk with God and hear Him and talk Him. Yeshua, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Now that's not just some kind of religious talk. That's what is reality. My sheep hear My voice. A still, small voice, yes. But that doesn't mean it's not plain. I've got a little signature on my email that says, "And you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." Do you believe that's still possible today? Oh my, that's the plan. Religion has robbed us, people. Made us think that only priests can hear from God. Well, it's true, but God came to make us a kingdom of priests. Amen? Hallelujah. So Yeshua is teaching us about prayer, and He teaches us in demarcations. He doesn't teach us a prayer. He's a rabbi. Rabbis don't just teach things for you to memorize. They teach things by topics or outlines so that you can take the outline and then build on it. When a rabbi gives you a scripture, if a rabbi comes to you and gives you the scripture, and he wouldn't give you this one unless he was a messianic rabbi, but if he came to give you the scripture that says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work, what would the rabbi expect you to do with that scripture? Just take that and run with it? He'd expect you to go find that scripture and take it in context and begin to build understanding about it. To find references that lead you to the same things. Because the Bible says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And I believe what Yeshua was doing here about prayer wasn't saying, "Say this prayer." He was said, "After this manner." Matthew 6:9. "After this manner, pray." Say it in this way, in this likeness. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we've spent the last 9 or 10 weeks talking about the names of God and meditating. And that's what these scriptures that I handed out are about, are those things that God spoke to us. And we talked about His name, Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the ineffable name, the Jews call it, the ineffable name of God, which to them means that it should never be spoken. But God said, "By this name shall I be known, and this is My name forever." And I just have to tell you that I don't find the place that says that you shouldn't say it. Should you be careful about how you say it? Absolutely. Do we know for sure how to pronounce it? Afraid not. Now it's possible maybe somebody does. I'm not going to say nobody does, because God could have told somebody how to pronounce it. This is as close as I know. And you know, if you tell me, that may be it, Yahweh. Maybe it's Yahweh. We don't know for sure. Vowels are a tricky thing in Hebrew. Vowels are really tricky. And if you know anything about original Hebrew texts, oldest texts, there are no vowels in it. The newspapers written in Israel today don't have the vowel marks. They figure you'll figure it out. And you do. It's amazing how often you can figure it out, because patahs are often used, and there's just certain vowels that just show up a lot. And so you'd be surprised how you can do it. Long O's, you got some pretty good help a lot of times. because a valve will be stuck in. But you're having a, you've just got some problems knowing how to say things, but that didn't make any difference. If he said, my name is Yud-He-Vav-He, that'd be enough for us to say, wouldn't it? Yud-He-Vav-He. God. And then you look and you say, well, what does that mean? Well, take your King James Bible or whatever Bible you use, and every time you see that fully capitalized L-O-R-D, you know that you've got that name. And then look and see what he reveals about himself. And I want you to know that he is a grace-giving God according to the revelation of the Bible. It's written that God is grace-giving, Yahweh, that he is merciful. It's written that he is the loving God. It's written. It's written that he keeps covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. And so we know that. And then we begin to read through and we find these compound names that were given to him by inspiration of the Holy Spirit through men. Men spoke it. Different prophets spoke it. Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh who sanctifies. Yahweh who is there. Yahweh our peace. Yahweh our healer. Yahweh our provider. Yahweh our banner. And finally that covering one, Yahweh our shepherd. The good shepherd of the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. And we'll never perish. And no man can pluck us out of his hands. And so that's what I believe Yeshua is telling us. Don't ever come to God without meditating on his name. What does meditation mean, Bob?
Well, some people call it mulling it over. Some people call it just spending time with
him. Right. But it has a further dimension that's often neglected because we are Westerners and we were taught that all of our study was to be silent study. Asian people, Oriental people, most other cultures don't have this. They speak as they learn. And so do you, if the truth be known. The best learning is speaking. Bob spoke about it this morning. The word to meditate, hagah, actually means to mutter or to speak, mulling it over. How many of you talk to yourselves? Good for you. I mean it. Good for you. You got something. Do it. Speak it out. When you see the Word of God, in fact, I just recommend, if you really want to get the Word, read it out loud. I'm not talking about listening to somebody else's tape. I'm talking about you reading it out loud. You have an inner ear that picks up what you say better than what anybody else says. Do it. It's a way of learning that it's often neglected. And it's not rote memorization, as some think. It's an imprinting. Really imprints. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Where does your tongue write? Hopefully not on the wall. Your tongue writes in your heart when you speak. And that's why it's so dangerous what some people say, because they're imprinting things in their heart. My mom told me when I was quite young, if you say a word three times, it's yours. And I found out that was true with expletives. How many of you did? You speak cuss words, say them a few times, pretty soon, they're yours. They come to your mind before anything else. It's amazing how the mind just plummets to the depths of the sewer to look for choices of words. That's why we need to cast those things down and not say them. But by the same token, good things work that way. And the Bible says, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me say this to some of you today. Some of you may still have a problem when things hit you just wrong, that the wrong words come out of your mouth. I'm talking about expletives, things that Christians ought not be known for. There's other words that are curses too that don't sound like cussing. That's when you speak opposite the Word of God. But if those are the kind of things, did you know the Bible says that you can, that the tongue can be tamed? Man can't tame it. It says the tongue is what? It's a what?
A restless evil.
Who can tame it? I tell you who can tame it. Our God can tame it. And he's given us methods. And the method of doing it is speaking his word or overcoming bad things with good things. It works. Now I'll get on to prayer. But that, you know, what we say is so important. What we say is so important. So we're talking to Yahweh and we've hallowed His name. We've kept His name separate in our mind. And His name has a way of separating and sanctifying us, making us holy. And we confess those words that I wrote down for you, saying those for yourself. I love to take every word of God and see if it's one that I can make mine. And that's done with pronouns generally, isn't it? If God speaks a word about you, I just say, me or I, right? We can do that. We can make it personal and speak it. And it's a process. And if you've been used to being silent all of your life, don't expect to get over it tomorrow. But start. Start speaking it out. And this, I go through this prayer most every day. But I don't pray the prayer. Hallowed be Your name. Oh, Yahweh, Your name is a wonderful name. I love Your name. Your name is covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful. You love me. You're Yahweh Tzidkenu. You're a righteous God, and You've imputed righteousness unto me. For You made Yeshua to be sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You say, well, you know, why do you need to pray that? It's written. I need to get that set in me. What's prayer for? Prayer to make God change? He says, I change not, so you're wasting your time. Prayer is to line yourself up with what God says. That's why these fancy prayers that people say don't impress me. It's only prayers that line up with God's Word and say what He says. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. That's a true sword. You know this isn't a sword. You can do damage with it, but this is just a book, right? But you take this that's written here, speak it with your mouth, transfer it into your heart, and then let it come forth from you in agreement. Whew. Power. That's the sword of the Spirit. I want to talk to you today about a part of this prayer. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now I know this has always been taken to be. And remember, you know, when you're reading things translated, they're doing the best they can a lot of times. Because I'm telling you what, if you read something in Hebrew, you know, you've really got to watch to see where the U's are. And I mean, those things, you can get the base word and you've got to watch to see what the pronouns are. But the Scripture says in the verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I've always, and I suppose most of us have, thought, well, that just is a request. But I'm not quite so sure that God was telling us that this is so much a request as it is a kingdom reality. Would you say that with me? Say, kingdom reality. You have just said, kingdom of God. Remember, we spoke this last week. Kingdom of God, come. In fact, how did we do it? Somebody demonstrate for me. Go ahead.
Come, kingdom of God.
That's right. Now that sounds to some people irreverent, but no. God's kingdom is what we desire to see on the earth. And what will happen when God's kingdom is manifest on the earth? The next phrase, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven, or on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that right? If the kingdom of God comes, where is the kingdom of God? Where? Within us. So when I start calling, kingdom of God, come! Where am I calling it from? From you, from me, from believers. From believers. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, the Scripture says. So what am I talking about when the kingdom of God comes? Just a lot of talk? No, talk with power. Talk with action. Right? Who can receive the kingdom of God? What do you have to be like to receive the kingdom of God? We went through this last week. Oh, like a child. Like a child. Well, I'm too dignified to act like a child. I'm sorry for you. Act like a child when it comes to believing God, trusting Him. You see, the only way to get into the kingdom of God is what Yeshua said, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't get in without being born again. So we have to come as little children. Anyone who won't come as a little child will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. I didn't say it. That's what Jesus said. And so if your dignity is really important to you, you better decide how important it is in light of eternity. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Come, kingdom of God. Come forth from me, righteousness, peace, and joy. Come forth from me, power. You say, well, can you call power forth from yourself? Well, God put it in me. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's power in me. Can I call it forth? How many of you know you can be filled with the Spirit of God and do absolutely nothing? Nothing. Many people just... all they study for is to make their life easier. I want to tell you, that's not the key here. Making your life easier wasn't what... you know, when we talk prosperity around this church, it's not to make your life easier. In fact, let me just give you some truth about it. Prosperity is probably going to make your life more complicated. I'm believing that it's going to make your life so complicated that you're going to be coming to me for counseling. And you're going to be saying, Pastor, we've got so much coming in, we don't know where to sow it. We don't know where to give it. Can you help us find a place? That's what I'm believing. Amen. That you'll be so prosperous that the wealth of the sinner that's laid up for the just will start coming to you, and you'll have to say, we don't know of enough places where we can give and make sure that it's going into the gospel. Can you help me? So that's going to put me under pressure too, isn't it? But I'm still praying for it. Amen? How many of you believe that's possible? How many of you think that's just a part of this name it and claim it stuff? I know that's been bad mouth, but the fact is that the Bible does teach if you name what God says, you can lay hold on it. You can claim it. Name it and claim it if it's just about what you want. Bigger cars and bigger houses. That may not have anything to do with God's plan. But if you really want to take God's resources and put them to work, I believe He'll funnel them toward you. I believe that. But you see, the problem is we've been taught religiously. We've been religiously brainwashed instead of scripturally taught. How many believe that? We've had a lot of brainwashing in our life that didn't clean our brain. It just put some bad stuff in. And it's hard to get rid of. But you see, this is what we were talking about, calling the kingdom of God. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God teaches us through His Word to call those things that are desired. Call them. Did you know a lot of people are calling things they don't desire? How many of you have ever heard someone say, I get the flu every year? I get the flu every year. If there's a new strain ever comes along, I'm sure to get it. Have you ever heard anybody say that? What are they doing? They're calling it. When you look at it that way, it's silly, isn't it? But do we do it? Yes, we do. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Call things that are desired. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The things I desire, I need to put a demand on those things that God has given for me. those things that God has laid up for me. I need to put a demand on that. I need to claim it. Now, daily bread. How about daily bread? What does that mean? How does that fit in with prosperity? Somehow, you know, the way we think about it, daily bread doesn't mean prosperity. But you know what? It is true prosperity. Give us this day our daily bread. Where does that come from, do you suppose? Daily bread. What?
The wilderness.
That's right. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore... Well, wait a second. We're not going to go into that just yet. That's Exodus 16. But 19:5 first. I want you to hear this first. He says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak unto the children of Israel. I wanted to get into that a little bit more. That's what the kingdom started way back then. And if you just had a picture of what God was trying to do with the children of Israel out there, He was trying to get to where we're just barely getting to now. I say He is trying to get to where we're just barely getting to now with them. He was speaking things to them that could have changed them where they would have been a kingdom of priests on the earth. And what ended up having to happen was there was one tribe that took over the priesthood. In fact, there was one family, one clan out of a tribe that took over the true priesthood. But God was calling the people at that time on the mountain. And you recall the scene. He said, have the people wash their clothes and sanctify themselves and stay away from the foot of the mountain because I'm going to come down on the mountain. And when I come down on the mountain's going to shake and the mountain's going to burn. And there's going to be loud thunder. Kolot, which is thunder or voices. That's why you see sometimes there were voices. And the shofar is going to blow. And it's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder. I tell you what, you don't have any idea what that scene was like. But I can tell you for sure that the children of Israel were not ready for it. And when it all began to happen and God began to speak, what did they do? They trembled. Fearful and... they fled away, didn't they? And they came back finally after things quieted down and they said, Moses, why should we die? We don't care if you die. Go hear God. But we don't want to die. You tell us what God said and we'll do it. But that wasn't God's perfect plan. God wanted us, He wanted them at that time to be a kingdom of priests. What was missing? What was missing? I don't know that it would have been missing if they would have responded, but they wouldn't respond. But what was missing was what happened on a further day of Shavuot. Shavuot is that feast in the Bible, which is called the feast of the first fruit harvest, right? The wheat harvest. And it was the day that God gave the Ten Commandments. But what else did He give on that day? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What was missing? The Holy Spirit. He gave them the Word. But the Word alone, what is it the Scripture says? The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh life. And so the Holy Spirit had to come. And then God can begin this work of making us into that kingdom of priests. Grafting a bunch of Gentiles in to bring about a holy nation. Not that we in any way replaced. We've just been grafted in. So the kingdom of God is coming. And as the kingdom comes, we're calling it. So does reality of the kingdom. You know, if the king's in charge, how many of you know things change? Even with a new president, don't you expect different things, unfortunately, sometimes? We expect different things because there's different administration. Well, now, Melech HaOlam, the king of the universe, is in charge. We've called his kingdom. what happens? What begins to manifest? His administration, right? Kingdom reality is what I call it. The kingdom reality. And so we say then, give us this day our daily bread. Anybody tell me what the subject to that sentence is? Give me this day my daily bread.
God's word?
Well, that, yeah, certainly. God's word is. But where does God's word come from?
Heaven.
It comes from God. And so the subject of that sentence is one of those implied subjects that you learned about in English back there. Remember then? Back, a implied subject, and it is who?
You.
You. You give us this day our daily bread. Does that have to be a request when you say it that way? Does that have to be a request, or could that be a statement of what is real? See, I believe that the primary, not that it's wrong to ask, but I'll tell you what, I think we're asking for a lot of things already been given. He's given unto us all things, Dan quoted it this morning, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. You don't have to ask for those things. What do you have to do? Receive those things. You need to take them. Amen? You don't have to requisition. He knows what things you have need of. He made them available. And so if I'm praying and I say, holy is your name, give me this day my daily bread, I could be saying it like this. You give me this day my daily bread. I'm just saying what is the truth. Does he? Yes. Yes. And here again, let's go back now to Exodus chapter 16. Verse 4, this is confirmed. God said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather what? They'll gather what? A certain rate every day. Did any of you ever study to see what that rate was, by the way? I think it was an ephah. I don't remember for sure if that's right or not, but I remember studying it the other day. It's like several gallons. That's a lot of food per person. I mean, you could eat a lot. Certain rate, though. And what happened if they took too much? It rotted and got worms in it. If they tried to keep it overnight, it rotted. God was trying to teach us something with manna that most of us still haven't gotten. He tells us some stories about those that will be rich fall into many temptations. Does that mean that God can't use a rich person? No. But if you've got this yearning and desire and that's your aim and your goal, you're going to fall into many temptations. But if your desire is to have that rate that God wants to give you every day, a daily rate, that I may prove them. Now, what was he proving about them? What was the test about manna? Whether or not what? Whether they would keep his law. Absolutely. How about whether they believed he would keep his word? Was that a proving too? Do you believe I can take care of you? Let me ask you this in God's behalf today. Do you believe that God can take care of you? I want to ask you one step further. Do you believe God wills to take care of you? Then how much do you need every day? A certain rate. And God's not holding back. He's not being... But He wants to see if you will walk in His law, which implies that you have to believe His word. Doesn't it? Trust His word. So this is talking about a law of faith and life. How many of you know Romans chapter 8, first verse, verse 1? There is therefore, now, no condemnation. There's no condemnation to who? Those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? How many of you know verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life. Say that with me. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. People say, I'm not under the law. You better study what the law is. There's more than one part to it. Isn't there? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh yeah, but that's really not law. That's all about the gospel. I'm telling you people, it started back in Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy. Numbers and Leviticus too. It started back there. That's the foundation for the whole thing. But even at that time, there was the law of sin and death, and there was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When was Jesus crucified, as far as God was concerned? From the foundation of the earth, it's written. From the foundation of the earth. And so in God's mind, there's not been a change of gospel. There's just been further revelation of covenant. You've got that, don't you? I know you can figure that out. This isn't rocket science. It's better. Amen. It's better than rocket science. And God gives you an understanding and an ability to pick it up. Praise God. I'm going to give them a certain rate every day to just see, to test them. And see, God doesn't tempt. So He's just seeing. He's checking us out. He's giving us these testings to find out if we will live up to our potential. And every time you pass a test, your potential gets greater. Then He'll give another one along and you can pass it and get more potential. Come to a further point in your potential, I guess is what I should say. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So there was one day they got to get twice as much. Why? Don't gather any in on the Sabbath. What was the first thing that happened after He gave that instruction and began to come down? Some men tried to keep it overnight. He told them a certain rate. And on the Sabbath day, Moses looked out of his tent door, and there they were. Some were out there looking for it. Did they pass the test? Some didn't, did they? Daily bread. We say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. What's that mean? Go ahead. Blessed are you, Yahweh our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Who brings forth bread from the earth. And you know, that's as true today as it was the first time it was said. How many of you bless your food before you eat? I see some nods. I'm going to tell you something. It might shock you. Quit it. You don't need to. You bless God who has blessed your food. That's really the proper way to pray. Jesus didn't bless the food. He looked up and blessed the Father. He said, Barakah. Blessed are you, Yahweh our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. You bring it forth. And the Scripture tells us He has blessed our bread and our water and taken sickness from the midst of us. That was a promise. It's already happened. I will bless your bread and water and take sickness from the midst of you. Amen. So you bless God. He blesses the food. We often say things like that. Let's bless the food. And we'll say, bless this food, God. Well, you know, Any of you have kids that ask you for something you've already done? What do you say? I already did that. Is it a dangerous thing to do it? Probably not dangerous, but you know, how much better to get the revelation of what God's already done for our food. He blesses our food. Now let me just say this. That doesn't mean that everything you choose to stick in your mouth is food. There's a lot of people sticking things in their mouth. Any of you eat buzzard meat? Huh? And yet you'll take other things that God didn't specify and say, well, you know, He cleansed all foods. He cleansed all foods. And did God specify and tell us what food is from the beginning? Yes, He did. I know what food is. I can read it. It's an instruction. Now, will you go to hell for eating that stuff that you shouldn't? No, I don't believe you will. But you might go to heaven earlier. Isn't that right? God blesses. Matthew 6:25. Yeshua said, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious. I think scripture we have is just take no thought. Yeah. But it's really, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious or fearful for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jump down to verse 32. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Does God know you need things? We need things, don't we? Is daily bread a thing? Yes. Does He know you need it? See, I'm just trying to get you to understand, we don't have to ask Him every day to give us our food. We just have to believe that He said He would give us this day our daily bread. He's going to supply our needs. He's going to give us our food. What are you supposed to spend your time seeking after? What you'll eat? Making a living? I got to make a living. You know what? You couldn't if you tried. Scripture says, in Him you live and move and have your being. Amen? You couldn't make a living if you tried. I live in Him. You know, people are going to find out very soon that dollars are not the key. You say, I'm going to get gold. Well, tell you what. That's not where my hope is. My hope's not in a lot of gold. Now listen. Listen. Listen to me now. Shema. Listen. Because God will speak to you and tell you things to do with about money. God's going to tell the body. God's going to tell His congregation what to do about money in these last times. God's going to show us things to do that are going to change things. But really, money is not the key. It's resources, isn't it? It's what money will buy that really matters, isn't it? And so, you know, don't just look at money. I mean, you know, it's possible that the things that we think of as valuable may turn to naught. You say, Pastor, I thought you were one of these positive, word of faith kind of guys. What's going on? I am. But I want you to know something. In the last times, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Perilous, dangerous times will come, and money may become useless. And the way to get things in the world system, in Babylon's system, you don't want any part of it. So you need to listen to God. But does that stop one word of what God said? Will He give you a daily rate of food? How many believe He will? How many of you believe that God, if He has to send some clean animal to your house, He'll do it, that you may eat? He may show you seeds to eat that you didn't even know were edible. It's possible. If He had to, He'd give us manna again. I don't have any word for that, except I just know God. He's going to give me my daily bread. You believe that? So what are we going to spend our time seeking? How we're going to make it in the end times? No. Here's the key. Next verse, 33. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. Seek ye first what? Melech HaOlam, the kingdom of God, the king of the universe. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that he knows you have need of will be added. Do I have to spend a lot of time asking him for them? No. Do I have to believe he'll give them to me and appropriate them? Yes. I can't just sit back and say, well, you know, one of these days. No, I'll have to appropriate it. I'll have to gather it in. Remember, the children of Israel went out with baskets and gathered it in, didn't they? We'll have to do that too. This is kingdom reality we're talking about. In Leviticus 26:5, God told the people at that time, he says, your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. What does that scripture mean to you?
No shortage.
No shortage. Can you appropriate it? Can you appropriate it today? I appropriated it when I read it. I said, I will not run out. I'm not going to run out. I'm not going to deplete God's supply. Have you got that? Everybody say it. I will not run out of God's provision. How much does he have? Bible says, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, he'll supply all of your need. Amen? Psalm 37:25. Psalmist says, I've been young, and now I'm old. I've been young, and now I'm middle-aged. We are middle-aged, aren't we, Dan?
Yep,
middle-aged. I've not seen, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Is that talking about you? That's talking about me. But it's also talking, if it's talking about you and it's talking about me, it's talking about our children, isn't it? I said, isn't it? If it's talking about you not begging bread, then you also need to know your children aren't going to beg bread. You're not going to be forsaken, nor are your children. The 26th verse says, he is ever merciful. Who? That's what I thought too at first. But if you read it more carefully, look at it and see if it isn't really saying that the man who is righteous is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Does that make sense? So what does that tell me about what I'm getting? I'm getting my daily supply, but I'm ever merciful and I lend. I said, I'm ever merciful and I lend. By the way, is it written anyplace else that I will be a lender? Is it written anyplace else that the righteous will be a lender? What? Deuteronomy 28 says that those that hearken unto the voice and of the word and follow it will be blessed. And they will lend to many nations and they won't borrow. Isn't that right?
Yeah, no interest.
No interest. That's right. We're not usurers. We're lending. And you know what? Jesus said you can lend without even expecting to ever get it back. And I don't know about you, but I've done this several times. When somebody had come to me, they'll say, I want you to lend this. And I'll say, well, tell you what. You call it a loan, and that's on you. But from me, whatever you do is fine. I'm giving it. I had somebody do that to me one time. I needed some help, and they helped me. And I said, well, I'll get it back to you as soon as I can. He said, there's no obligation. If God directs you, that's fine. But no obligation. I like that. I liked it then, and I like it when I do it. You know what? Once you release it, you never get concerned if you see that same person going out and doing something you think's unwise with my money. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Psalm 112, verse 9. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. This Psalm 112 is a lot like Psalm 1. Talks about a man who is blessed of the Lord. Happy is the man. Happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. It's talking about these people here. Psalm 112 says he disperses. He gives to the poor. How much is my daily rate? See, this is what I want you to see about your daily rate. It's more than enough. It's so much that you're expected to give. In fact, the whole law of God is give, and it shall be given unto you, isn't it? Isn't it taught all the way through that you'll be a giver? What was Abraham like? Was he a hoarder or a giver? He was a giver. When he had a chance to make money, he'd say, no, not going to make any off of this deal. You'd say, you made Abraham rich. No, that's not going to happen. Was he a giver? Yeah, he tithed 10% of all that he had. I want you to tell you that I don't know a lot about Melchizedek, they call him. I don't know a whole lot about him. I know a lot of things have been said about him. I don't know a lot about him. But I do know this, that he had a lot to carry when he took 10% of all that Abraham had. This king of righteousness wasn't a man in want. And if he lived in a shack, it's because that's where he wanted to live. Amen? He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And you know, if you read 2 Corinthians 9:9, it quotes that verse. It says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. You don't make a living. God gives you your living. God ministers. Why? Well, he's the king. And in his kingdom, what does he do? Does he take care of his kids? Does he take care of... Are you a subject of the king? Are you a child of the king? How many of you know Big John Hall, the big bass singer, used to sing with the Blackwood Brothers? I'm a child of the king, a child of the king. I tell you what. Sometimes when he sings that song, you know, I just swell up till I think I'm going to get raptured. I'm a child of the king. His royal blood now flows in my veins. I'm a child of the king. Does he take care of his kids? I said, does he take care of his kids? Yes. Are you his kid?
Yes.
Does he take care of you, Debbie?
Yes.
Ooh, does he take care of us? He does a good job. What does he give me? He gives me my bread, and he gives me seed. Say seed.
Seed.
What does seed look like? You know, you've got to think. You know, chances are today you're not getting a whole lot of just real bread and seed. You're getting all the foods you need to eat. But what's seed look like? What's he giving you to sow? His promise, his words. His words, and when he gives us, let's talk about money for a second. When he gives us money, part of that money will be used to do what? If he gives us bread to eat. Buy my food. And part of it is seed to sow. What will be done with that? It'll be tithes, offerings, giving to other people that need. How many believe this is kingdom talk? This is a kingdom reality. What do God's subjects look like? Humble? That's right. Why are you humble? You could be the wealthiest man in the world and be humble if you understand this truth. It all comes from Him, and it's all for His plans and purposes. He gave it to me quickly. He could require it quickly. Isn't that right? Could you give it all away? I say, could you give it all away? That's what we're talking about, kingdom reality. What would happen if you gave it all away? What happened to that woman in the temple that Jesus was watching as everybody came by and put their offerings in the box? And the woman came with two mites and put them in. What did Jesus say? She's given more than the rest because she gave all her living. Now, I want to ask you something. Kingdom reality. What happened to that woman? You know, people have an odd way of doing things. Oh, that poor woman, she gave everything. She just went home and died. Like the old woman that Elijah came to, remember? He said, you take and you fix bread for me first. Make a loaf for me first and then for your son and you. She gave all that she had, but what happened to her? She lived out the famine with all that she needed. Do you understand? God is a giving God. The king ministers resources to his subjects. Amen? Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What is the danger, Bob? Eat seed. Don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. So shall my word be. What does that mean? If his word's going to be that same way, what is his word? A seed that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. It'll sprout. It'll break through the earth. First the blade, then the stalk, and then the full ear in the stalk. It'll accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. This is kingdom reality. So you don't have to hoard the goodness of God, do you? You don't have to store up, oh, I'm saving for a rainy day, Pastor. Well, I'm telling you what, you're believing for a rainy day, whether you knew it or not. Don't believe for rainy days. Now, I'm not talking about rain. You need to believe for some moisture. But don't believe for what rainy day means in the colloquialisms of our time. A rainy day is a bad time. Don't believe for those. Don't believe for those. Here's what the scripture ends that up with in the 12th verse, Isaiah 55. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees in the fields shall clap their hands. I'm waiting for that day. Oh boy, can you see that one coming? And that's all talking about because of the seed and what it prospers and does and what it brings forth. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's a kingdom reality. What does God do? Everything he does for us in tremendous abundance has to do with the power that he's already put in us. His enduing us with power from on high. All of the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All of the promises. Say all. All of the promises of God in him are yea, or yes. And all of the promises in him are amen. Unto the glory of God. But what's those last two words saying? By us. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. It's about us receiving what he's done. How many of you see that daily bread goes a lot deeper than just your daily bologna sandwich? You see that? Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be a giver. I am a giver. How many of you would like to be a giver? Say it. I am a giver. I give. And it's given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into my bosom. For with the same measure I meet with all, it shall be measured to me again. So what am I going to be? A giver to getter? I'm a giver to getter, to giver to getter, to giver to getter. To give, to get, to give, to get. That's the way it works. Daily bread. Daily bread. Do you see it? Can you see it? Father, we bless you and love you and praise you and honor you. Your name, the name above all names, at the name of Yeshua, Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess Yeshua is Yahweh to the glory of God the Father. You are Lord. You are Yahweh over all the earth. We worship you and honor you today, and we praise you. And how we thank you that you are giving us this day our daily bread. Those things that we have needed for today, food, clothing, housing, money, resources of all kind, transportation, everything that we have needed for this day, you are supplying for us. You have given them to us. And Lord, we're looking. We're looking. We're starting. We're practicing. We're looking for where we're going to be able to give. And where we're going to be able to be helpful. And where we're going to be able to do what you said, that you would make the grace of God. And the grace of Jesus Christ is that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And you said that your power would make that grace abound toward us, so that we always having all sufficiency in all things would abound to every good work. So, Father, we receive this day our daily bread and thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Lift your hand up in the air and receive this blessing from God. Let's just put both hands up and let God's imprint. God said, you speak this blessing, I'll put my name on them. Told Aaron to tell the children of Israel, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.